Now, if we get a little thing like that, it makes a lot of difference. Well, I'm so excited to share with you tonight, and this is part of the series about framing your future with your mouth, and so we're going to look at some of those principles. The message tonight is When Giants Fall, and it's about the day a young man shifted the atmosphere over an entire nation. Before we get into the message, we're going to look at our memory verse that we're studying right now because it actually goes right with this message tonight. Would you stand with me and we're going to rehearse this scripture together, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, one more time. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we're going to actually look at that scripture in the message tonight. Thank you, and you may be seated. One other announcement we were supposed to make tonight. This is really off target, but I was asked to make it, so it just came to my mind. We have lots of apples left over, so please go in the kitchen and get those after a while. We want to be good stewards of all that you brought. Well, tonight we're going to look at the biblical story of David and Goliath. It's a familiar story for most of you. Interestingly, it's a very long story in the scripture with lots of details in it. And in this story, we do see how one young man shifted the atmosphere. So we're going to look at principles that you can apply to your life so that you can shift the atmosphere in certain situations. We're going to look at how you can deal with giants in your life, because we all face giants from time to time. So we're going to see how one single faith-filled life shifted the atmosphere from unbelief to belief. And that's really important. And what's amazing is that you, as believers full of the Holy Spirit, can do that same thing when God is leading. We're going to see the changing of the destiny of a nation. And this story, even though you might think, as you're just thinking about it, that it's about human courage, human effort, but it's really not about that at all. It is about a life built on faith in God. It is about honoring God. And so we can apply those things to our lives, and we will be able to shift atmospheres and slay giants just like David did. So to set the stage for tonight's message, it's going to be in 1 Samuel 17. If you have your Bible or you have your device and you want to look that up, I'm going to tell part of the story to you just so that we don't read such long sections, although we will read quite a few verses tonight. But I hope this will bless you, and you might take some notes in the points. So here we are. The Israelites and the Philistines found themselves on the brink of war. The Israelites are on one side of the valley. The Philistines are on the other. And there's this big valley that separates them. One day, out of the Philistine camp came Goliath, a giant who was 9 feet, 9 inches tall, the Bible tells us. So that's about twice of me. He's a big guy. His presence was overwhelming. And he had on this armor. He had on an armor that weighed 126 pounds. He had a bronze helmet. He had bronze knee pads and shin covered and all these garment, his armor that he wore. There was a man who went with him to carry a shield to protect him out in front of him. So when he shows up and he comes out and he starts taunting Israel, it's quite a scene. We tell these stories sometimes and we forget just how real they are. So here is a giant coming forward with this huge armor. And he is putting a challenge out there. He says, okay, you want to fight? Let's do it differently this time. You send anybody you want. You pick anybody you want, and they'll fight me. And whoever wins, wins the war. Well, that's not the way Israel usually did it. So he's intimidating them, and this goes on, and the Bible tells us it happened for 40 days. So this scene that we see, we're about to see young David step up and start to shift things and change things. So as we read those scriptures, I want you to watch that change happen. So we're going to begin in 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. Goliath stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you'll be our servants and serve us." So that didn't look like much of a battle, did it, to the Israelites? And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." And then King Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. He said, putting the challenge out, "Send somebody to fight me." The king is afraid. He flees. The army is afraid. Nobody takes the challenge. And then we see young David show up. We know a lot about David and so many beautiful stories about David and his heart for God. At the point of this story, David has been a shepherd for his father for many years. And then there came a day when Samuel was sent to anoint the next king. He comes to the house of Jesse where God had told him to go, and he starts to bring the sons before him one by one. And every time God said, "Not the one, it's not the one, it's not the one." So he gets to the end of the sons, and Jesse's like, "Isn't there somebody else?" "Oh, well, yeah. Well, David, he's out in the field. You know, he's just a kid. He is a young boy." Samuel said, "Bring him. Bring him to me." So when he comes, Samuel anoints him. The Lord said, "This is the one. He's going to be the next king." So he's a young boy serving his father, a shepherd. But God had a plan for his life. So Samuel anoints him. His family sees it. The brothers see this happening. But then time goes by. Many of you know the story about how King Saul would be distressed with an evil spirit, and they found out that music would calm that. So someone told him about David, and so David begins to come occasionally to play music for the king, and it would quiet him. So this is what's been happening in David's life, you know, since he was out in the fields and since he's been anointed, and occasionally he goes to play for the king, and then he goes back and helps his father with his sheep. So David shows up. He's taking food. His father has sent him to take food to the captain and to his brothers. So he shows up, and he is shocked. He's just shocked. How can they let this Philistine talk about God that way? He's very riled up. He's upset about this. And so then we see As we see him coming in verse 20, we're going to skip to verse 20. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and he took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp of the army. They were going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. David left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. He had three brothers who were fighting, or who were in the army. Then, as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, the same things he had been saying. He's coming now and he's saying this. David is hearing it. David heard them. David heard the words. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him. They were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by and saying, "Well, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David knew he wasn't, this uncircumcised Philistine wasn't in covenant relationship with God. He didn't have the blessing of God on his life, and yet he is taunting all of Israel. Israel is facing an insurmountable enemy if we look in the natural. It looks impossible. How's anybody going to face this giant and come out a winner? You see, that's all they could see and that's all they could hear. He's big. He's got this big armor. He's got this big helmet. He's got this guy with a shield. He's terrifying. That's all they could think about. It's what's in their heart, what's in their mind were the words of this giant Goliath. They were focusing on their enemy. They were focusing on their enemy. So tonight, the first thing I want to say to you is, you know, you're going to have some giants, but don't make the giants the focus. You will not win the battle if the giants are your focus. So what kind of giants might we have in our life? Well, we might not be fighting a Goliath, but we might have other giants like illness, like a relationship problem, like a financial problem, like anxiety, all kinds of things that may be really big in our eyes, and it's all we can see, and it's all we can think about. They are giants to us. But you can defeat those giants if you will do what David did. Don't focus on the giants. It looks like you can't win. It looks like you can't beat them. But looks is not all there is. Looks are not all there is. David focused on God. Everybody else focused on Goliath. Interestingly, as I was reading this and looking back to that example I told you about when Samuel anointed David as a young boy, what did God tell Samuel? Don't look on the outward appearance. We don't need to look on the outward appearance, whether it's how big the enemy is, that we think how big the bill is, how big the disease is, how big the obstacle is. We're not supposed to look at those things. We're supposed to focus on how big our God is. That's what David did. All that time in the field, we know that when he was watching the sheep, what did he do? He worshiped. He wrote songs of worship. He had a relationship with God. He knew God was incredible. He believed in the God of Israel. So he wasn't impressed with this giant. He didn't care what he was saying. It didn't matter to David because, remember, David had a heart after God. So don't look at the giants. It doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter how strong they are. It doesn't matter how many resources they have. You have spiritual weapons. And you wage your warfare with spiritual weapons. those are some of those things that we talked about that are invisible. We can't see them, right? But we can use them, and they are powerful. One obstacle, let's say that someone's in the hospital and they have a terrible diagnosis and you're in the waiting room and you're thinking about this person that you love and your mind is thinking about the diagnosis. Your mind is thinking about what the doctor said and your mind is just filled and it's all you can see and it's all you can hear. You must change your focus. Because that might be true. It might be a fact that this person in your family has this disease. But the truth that trusts that is that God can do all things. That with God there is nothing impossible. That with God all giants can fall. So you have to change your focus. Don't focus on the giants in your life. Not focus on the giants, face giants. And when we're facing them, realize that we overcome giants through faith. So as a believer, you have a measure of faith. And the scripture says that you can build that faith. You can make it stronger. There are lots of things you can do to increase your faith. And faith is how you overcome giants. So if you're facing a giant in your life, read the Word, pray the Word, decree the Word, worship God, meditate. There are so many things that you can do to be able to pray in the Spirit. There are many things you can do to build your faith because that's how you're going to overcome a giant. We have lots of stories in the Scripture that we could choose to talk about how people overcame obstacles. What about Caleb and Joshua? They're ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And someone comes up with the idea, let's just send out some spies and find out what it's like. Okay, we'll do that. So they send out 12 spies. They come back. Caleb and Joshua are like, it's an amazing land. Look at this fruit. It's flowing with milk and honey, just like the Lord said it was going to be. The other 10 spies were like, oh no, we're not going to do that. We're not going in there. There's giants in the land. They have fortified cities. They had a word from God about what they were supposed to do. And part of what we're learning in this series is if you have a word from God, you can speak that word into the atmosphere, declare that word, and see things change. But Caleb and Joshua, they were speaking the right things, and the other 10 spies caused all the rest of the people to not believe. They shifted the atmosphere into an atmosphere of unbelief. And it cost them 40 years. They all died except for Caleb and Joshua. They died in the wilderness. God raises up a new generation. Caleb and Joshua, though, they were saying, we can do this. We are able. 45 years later, Caleb is still saying, we can do it. We are able. Because they had a word from God. This is your promised land. This is your inheritance. You can have it. All you have to do is follow me. They didn't focus on the giants. Caleb and Joshua didn't, but everyone else did. You have to overcome your giants with faith. So looking at David, here he was, the young shepherd boy. Samuel had anointed him. We know all that story about how he played for King Saul. And when he got there, he's just dumbfounded about what he's seeing. It's just mind-blowing to him that all these Israeli armies are afraid. King Saul has fled. Nobody is doing anything about what's happening. And here is Goliath every day, morning and night, making fun of God, making fun of the God of Israel, mocking. Not okay with David. So let's look in 1 Samuel 17. Let's go on down to verse 20. Let's actually go on down. We already read that part. Let's go on down and say, when David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" His brother, Eliab, basically said, What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You're arrogant. You're insolent. But you see, David wasn't thinking that David, little shepherd boy, had the power to take out the giant. He was thinking God, the living God, the God of Israel, had the power to take out the giant. He had the right focus. So David began to change the spiritual atmosphere. He began to speak truth into the atmosphere. And it began to shift. He began to speak even when King Saul said, well, okay, because he heard David is willing to fight. Okay, who is, you know, apparently he didn't even know who David's family was and all, but he had David come to him. And David begins to speak to King Saul, hey, we can do this. We can take this enemy. We can take this giant. And King Saul said, well, you know, you want to try it? I'm not trying it, but if you want to try it, go ahead. I'll give you my armor. David puts it all on, decides not to wear it. We'll look at that in just a minute. But if you want to change the atmosphere to deal with giants that you're facing, you will need to use faith-filled words that line up with God's heart, line up with God's purposes. You can bring heaven to earth that way. David used things that weren't visible, just like the scripture that we saw, to bring into reality things that were visible. The same principle that we've been seeing. Notice how different it was for David, how he responded to what he heard and everybody else. It was completely different response that David had. The next thing is we talk about the words and the power of words. Now I want to say to you tonight is the enemy is going to try to disarm you. He's going to use words against you. He's going to try to make you afraid and ineffective in your battle. And one of the big ways he's going to do it is through words. Saul, Israel, they heard the words of the giant, they ran. Basically, part of what Goliath has said is, I heap shame on the ranks of Israel. We recently heard Chuck Pierce in a meeting, and Chuck said this, we need to understand that there is a prophetic battle in the atmosphere. For 40 days, Goliath had impregnated the atmosphere with unbelief, so strong that the armies of Israel were convinced they could not take him out. So we see this power of negative words, of the negative report, of words of fear being released over a people, over this entire army, over the king. And it was very powerful in a negative way. Now, how many of you have caught yourself speaking negative words in a situation and the Lord rebukes you and tells you you're not speaking in alignment with what I'm trying to do here? You need to get your words lined up with what I'm trying to do. It's easy to do, to slip into that. But if while we're learning this tonight, we want to make it practical. We want to apply it to our lives. We can speak negative words that are full of fear, and we're going to reap a harvest from that. Or we can speak faith-filled words and reap a harvest from that. As I said, David's brothers were making fun of him. Goliath is taunting him. Goliath said to him, am I a dog that you come to me with stick, you're nothing, God. He's laughing at David. And the Philistine cursed David by the gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the fields. That could be frightening. Young shepherd boy being threatened by a great big giant who's already terrified everybody else. I'm going to feed your carcass to the beasts of the fields. Just come on and see what we're going to do. That didn't bother David in the least. Because he wasn't fighting by his eyes. He wasn't fighting by what he heard. He wasn't seeing in the natural. He was using faith. And his faith informed him that God was able. Not only was God able, but God was on his side. Because this uncircumcised Philistine was mocking Israel and Israel's God. So David, like, 2 + 2 = 4. That ain't going to work. We're not putting up with this. He knew God was on his side. So he, knowing the heart of God, could move in faith and not become ineffective, not become afraid in the battle. Many times we listen to the wrong report. You can just go in a room where people are talking about negative things or fear-based things or just pick it. And you, if you're not wise, the atmosphere inside you will begin to change and become like the atmosphere in the room. That's why the Bible teaches us we set the atmosphere, folks. We're supposed to set the atmosphere full of faith, full of belief. But we have to guard against these wrong atmospheres and realize that they can make us ineffective. The enemy wants to take you out. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy every one of us, everybody who's a believer. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the atmosphere he's trying to create. Don't focus on him. Don't focus on the enemy. Focus on God. Focus on your faith-filled words, and you can begin to change that. It's important when we're exploring these words that the enemy is trying to use against us that we just know God's heart for the battle. What is God's will in your situation? It was easy to know in this situation that God's will was for that Philistine to fall. Absolutely. God did not have any intention for Israel to lose this battle. What is God's will in your situation that you're going through? What giant do you need to fall? Watch out for the negative words. And then, don't despise the small beginnings. A lot of times when people are beginning to know who they are in Christ and they're beginning to discover their gifts and they're beginning to know what it's like to be used by the Lord, they're gung-ho, which is a great thing, but they want to jump over all the small things and take on the giants. But don't despise the small beginnings because God is doing something in the small beginnings. Consider them preparation for your big challenge that's coming. Because there are bigger challenges that come as we walk with the Lord. So we can use those small things to build our faith. I remember in particular I had a teacher in college. I had 2 or 3 situations like this, but I had a teacher in college, it was class I really liked, but she really did not like me. And so when she would ask a question, I learned pretty quick to quit answering questions. But it was like a debate. And she would just shred me down one side and up the other. And I got to where I was terrified to go in that classroom. I mean, I'm a grown woman at this point. And I wasn't the only one. She had an atmosphere of intimidation. She wanted to intimidate people in the class. And those harsh words were really hard for me to overcome for a long time because she didn't like my voice. She didn't like what I said. And I let that get really big in my mind. I mean, we were in little small churches out in the country, not, you know, somewhere around that time. I couldn't even make an announcement. I was terrified. What she had done to me in that class, I just received it in my heart in the wrong way, those words. And it just was birthing seeds of doubt and unbelief that I can't do this thing. You know, I can't speak. It was a small battle, but it had big consequences. Eventually, step by step, little by little, I learned to overcome. I learned to overcome that. But David shares his story here, and we see the small things that built his faith that were part of his story. So he's trying to get Saul to let him go fight Goliath. In verse 34, David says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out and struck it. I delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." David had this history of battles. They weren't as big as killing the giant, but they were pretty significant battles that he had faced. He had faced them, and he had a story that he could look back on and said, what is in your story tonight? What has God been showing you? What are the victories that God has given you that he may be using to prepare you for your next bigger battle? Ask him to show you those things. Don't despise the small beginnings because God has a purpose in them. And fight battles, folks, when nobody's looking. Fight them for the Lord, and because God is looking. And when you're fighting a giant, rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit for your battle plan. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to say. He might use a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, as we talked about Sunday. What is the battle plan for your battle? It is not always what you would think. Who would have thought that the battle plan for this battle was for David to take 5 smooth stones and a sling and take out this giant? I wouldn't have thought of that. But David knew his story. He knew what he was comfortable with. He knew how God had used him. So he refused the armor of Saul. It didn't fit him. It wasn't his right for him. And he got the 5 smooth stones. And folks, this is when everything is going to change. When he started slinging that sling and with that stone, just the one stone, just the first stone, everything changed. He let that stone go, hit Goliath right in the forehead. He falls down dead. David cuts his head off. Quite a scene. David has changed the atmosphere for the whole nation now. He's changed the atmosphere for his family and for the nation. When you're in a battle, ask the Holy Spirit what the battle plan is, because we can't presume to always know how God wants to take out the giants we're facing. There could be a million ways that God takes out giants in your life. But don't go to battle without asking what the battle plan is, because the Holy Spirit will give you the battle plan if you listen. When He gives you the battle plan, He's going to help you remember who you are. David remembered that he was an Israelite. He served the living God. He didn't forget that, like everybody else forgot it. And David, I think, is stepping in, too, right now to who he really is. Because let's just think about it. Let's just think about what's happening. He is anointed to be the leader of Israel, the king, the new king. It hadn't happened yet. He's in a period of waiting. But he was anointed for that, set apart. God chose him for that. I think when he faced that giant, he saw them taunting Israel. It just rose up in him, and he's like, no, not on my way. I was made for this. You're not going to taunt my God. I will rise up, and God will use me. And he will take this giant out, because this is not right. He was created to lead the people of Israel, and here he is. God's just setting him up. He's just setting him up, because after this, what happens? All the people start saying, well, Saul's killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000s. The people start to recognize the shift that's happened. David stepped into it. He stepped into what God's doing. He stepped into, I think that purpose was just rolling over inside of him when he faced that giant. And he was anointed at that moment to do what God was asking him to do. Remember who you are. You are children of God. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You are not a nobody. You are not powerless. When you face a giant, it is not just you. You have, the Bible says, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside you. You. Not just your neighbor, not just your preacher. It's inside. He's inside you, folks. He will empower you. Remember who you are. Hebrews 11:32 says this. This is that famous passage where we rehearse all these great people of faith. And the writer of Hebrews said, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Out of weakness were made strong. These people who we have this beautiful list in Hebrews 11 of their faith, out of weakness they were made strong. So if you're weak, if you find that you're weak and you need your faith increased, well, you can just qualify, because all the people in Hebrews 11 faced weakness and were made strong by God. So not only remember who you are, but as we end, remember that your victory that you win can inspire other people. Look what happened here. 1 Samuel 17:51. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And now the men of Israel rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. So the enemy runs away. Israel is all suddenly infused with encouragement, and they're like, bless God, we're taking these people. Your victory is not just about you. It's about your family. It's about your church. It's about your community. It's about your world. Your victory can inspire other people to believe God, to take out giants, to move against armies. So it's important how we fight. God has given us impossible things to do. He has. But But he's given us his Holy Spirit to do those things with. So to overcome giants, we have to refuse to partner with fear. We have to refuse to partner with fear. If we partner with that spirit of fear, we cannot defeat the giants in our life. So we must refuse that fear. We have to steward what's happening inside us. This is what we might call our internal atmosphere. You got to watch it. You have to be careful about what's happening in here, because what's happening in here is going to come out there and happen out there. So we can defeat these giants. We can shift the atmosphere. So tonight as we're closing and worship team's coming, I want to ask you this. How do you talk to your enemies? Do you talk like the ones in this story who said, "Oh, no, can't take you on. You're too big. You're too strong. You got too much resources." Or do you talk like David? "Give him to me. I'll take him out. My God is able." We might not face a literal giant, but we face lots of giants in our life. Lots of things that stand up and exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But you can defeat them. Get God's word on the situation. Know what he's saying to you. Use your faith. Fill the atmosphere with faith. Stay away from atmospheres that are full of fear. Stay away from negativity and things that pull you down and cause you not to believe. And take your giant. Because you are able. You are able with the power of the Holy Spirit to take any giant that you face. Rehearse your small victories. Remember them, because God uses that to build your faith. Get your words in alignment with what God wants you to say. Because we have a great charge, people. We have a city to win. We have families to win. We have a nation to win, a world to win. We've got to be giant killers. Our God is able. He is able, and he is able to do it through you. And it's not about you being, as I started the message and said, it's not about you having great effort or great courage. It's about you having a great God. So as we stand tonight, our altar workers are coming. And if you're fighting some giants in your life, why don't you come and let somebody pray with you about those giants, and let's join our faith with your faith. Get your words right, get your belief right, and let's believe God to change things in your world, because he is able. You're released when you feel want to go. You're free to go. But the altar is open for prayer and ministry. So Lord, we confess before you that sometimes we respond wrongly to giants. That sometimes we embrace fear. Sometimes we speak wrong words. We follow the wrong crowd, and we get our hearts off focus. Forgive us, Lord, for that. Tonight we open our hearts and say, fill us anew and afresh with your Holy Spirit, with your faith, with your power, Lord. Encourage us. Give us the giants, Lord, for you are able. We pray this in Jesus' name.